We've had a wonderful time all together this morning with Andrew's excellent telling of his story and Joe's testimony of an experience that we can start to appreciate, but really meant for many of us, we have no such experiences as that. To which family do you belong? There are two German words, and my daughter Elizabeth, who's studied a fair bit of German, thought I would be embarrassed in, or at least embarrassed her in saying these two words to you, but I'd like to introduce two German words to you from a German philosopher by the name of Ferdinand Tönnies. And many years ago, he coined the phrases Gemeinschaft and Gesellschaft. And I'd like to explain those to you in the context of John 8. Those words are translated in the English language and not well translated, but they are translated as community and society. You see, family invokes in us the thought of belonging. The concept of belonging comes through very powerfully in this chapter that has been read with us. Now, there is one little section that I ask to be left out of the reading, and that is so that I can read it as part of what I'm saying, which is what I'll do now, and that is the little section where it refers to the children of the devil. Jesus said to them in verse 42, and remember to whom he's speaking here, he is speaking to the Jewish people and probably to the Jewish leaders. Jesus said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." To belong is something for which all human beings long. We long to belong. Quite a few years ago now, perhaps 10, 15 years ago, there was a television miniseries brought out called Roots. I didn't see a lot of it, but the concept of it I understand. People like to go back to their roots. They like to have a sense of belonging. It is a natural human tendency. In families, we have the special privilege of belonging by blood. We belong to a family, and that is very important to you and me. But there is one community to which it is more important to belong than to the family, and that is to the family of God. It is to belong to God through Christ. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross, we can belong to his family. And that is the most important relationship of belonging that we will ever have. Gemeinschaft, the German expression, refers to this sense of belonging within community. Now, I'd like to explain that in several different ways today. I've indicated already that the distinction in its English equivalent is between community, that sense of belonging to community, and society. It is also the difference between family and institution. It is also the difference between, in Old Testament terms, the faithful remnant and the Jewish nation. It is also the difference between being part of God's family and part of Christendom. And as I explain those, or as I describe each of those, you might be getting the sense that there are those who are true members of the family or the community or of God's family, and there are those who are illegitimate within that. And that was what Jesus was teaching in this passage. You will note that he uses some very powerful language. He uses the word belong many times, and by inference on other occasions, but there are two key thoughts also that are added into this passage, and they are totally in contrast. He emphasizes on seven occasions the word truth. Now you might recall that in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus speaking says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus expressed the idea that he is truth. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest preachers of this century from London, wrote amongst his many publications a fascinating book about God. And he called the book Truth Unchanged, Unchanging. Jesus said, "I am the truth." In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh. That Word who is God, who created all things, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. And to be part of the family of God means to understand and apply the truth. To belong to God's family means that we understand the truth and apply it. Now, I'd like just to go through part of this passage with you. I'm going to look, and it might be worthwhile for you to look at your Bible references here with me. It says in verse 31, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.' That means you really belong to me if you do something. And what is it that you have to do to belong to Christ, to be members of his family? If you hold to my teaching." One of the important things for us to learn from this passage is that what counts is not what we think, but what God says. You see, this passage is in the context of Jesus, the Christ, speaking to the religious people of the day, the Jewish people, and particularly to the leaders of the Jewish people. He wasn't speaking to atheistic people. He was speaking to people who had a religious tradition. And so I would remind you of what I just said. What counts with God is not what we think, but what God says. And too often, we try to argue our case in squabbles that we have in Christian circles by saying what we think. What we should always do is what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness, and that is to say, God says. We always should go back to that. Not what we think, what God says. If it was on what we think, the Jews would have been well off because they had learnt the scriptures, the Old Testament, from early in their lives, and they knew it well. But here it says in verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. So to belong to Christ means we hold to his teaching. In verse 35, we read these words. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. A son belongs to it forever. And we have to read that in the context of the next verse, which goes on in the same sentence. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, to use the generic form of this word, when you are a child in the family, you belong to the family. How do you become a child of this family of God? It is only when the Son of God sets you free from that which excluded you from the family. That is, our sinnership before God excluded us from his family. But now we are members of his family. We belong to his family because the Son has set us free. That is the word of the scriptures. And then we go down a little further to verse 39. The Jews here were struggling. They said in verse 39, Abraham is our father. And you'll notice that in verse 41, they say the only father we have is God himself. So something happened in between that made them confused. And we'll look at that in verse 39. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, that's what they just said to him, then you would do the things Abraham did. In other words, if you belong to his family, you'll do things like he did. Now, I'd like to encourage you to find out a lot about Abraham from the New Testament. The New Testament is full, in many parts, about Abraham. Not because of who he was in the history of the ages, but because of what he did. And that is the exercise of faith. In Romans chapters 2, 3 and 4, particularly 3 and 4, it is full of the relationship of Abraham to God as an explanation of our relationship to God directly ourselves in our day. If you were Abraham's children, that is, if you belong to Abraham, then you would do the things that Abraham did. To highlight how important this is, in Galatians chapter 3, we have four verses from verses 26 to 29, which will highlight the point I've just been making. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that is because Abraham lived by faith. It was by faith alone. In Romans chapter 1, we read that wonderful verse which says, verse 17 of chapter 1, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The connection for the Jewish people of his day, of Jesus' day, the connection for them with Abraham that Jesus was trying to implant in their minds was that Abraham lived by faith. And that is what they were required to do as well. Then we go down to verse 42 of our chapter. And in verse 42, Jesus said this. This is after they have said that their only father is God. They opposed the idea that they were illegitimate children of God. Jesus said, "If God were your father, that is, if you belong to him, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here." If you belonged to God, says Jesus, you would love me. Now that really was powerful talk to these people who were accusing him of all sorts of heinous crimes against their religion. Jesus said, if you really belong to God, you would love me. And that is another characteristic of those who belong to the family of God. They love Christ and who he is, his person, they love him. And as I go through each of these, both in the positive and the negative, look into your own life, as I do into mine, and let us see if we express the fact that we belong to God's family. We love Christ. That is the indicator. That is the reflector, the expression of our belonging to God's family. We go down a little further to verse 44. You belong, this is the negative, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Here he was speaking to whom? Was he speaking to the Gentiles? No, he was not. Was he speaking to the Romans, the political masters of the day? No, he was not. He was here speaking to the Jewish people of the long religious tradition. And he said to these people, you belong to your father, the devil, and you carry out his desires. What a thing to say to the religious people of that day. Those who prided themselves in their heritage of faith. Or was it only an institutional faith? You see, God, the Son, who was with them at that time, knew what was in their hearts towards him, he who was God. They hated him without a cause. Then we go down a little further to verse 47. It says here, and this is Jesus speaking again, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. In that one verse we have both the positive and the negative. The positive is that the person who belongs to God hears what God says, listening to the voice of God. And the reason that you, Jewish people who are listening to me, who are debating with me, who are disputing my authenticity, you do not hear because you do not belong to God. They thought they were right with God, but they were not. They had an institutional understanding of their position before God, but they did not belong to the family of God because they did not hear what God was saying to them through his one and only Son who was in their midst at that time. And then we go further down to verse 49. And in verse 49, Jesus, who has been accused in the previous verse about being demon-possessed, he says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honour my Father and you dishonour me. He was saying here, I do not belong to a demon. I do not belong to Satan, but I honour my Father God and you dishonour me. In this passage, we learn a lot about belonging, about what it means to belong to the family of God, and also that those who thought they did not, because they did not love God, they did not listen to his teaching, they did not hear his word, they did not put into practice his command. But what did they do? They did something in their hearts toward the Son of Man, the Son of God himself. I mentioned earlier about this passage concentrating on the truth. And as you go through this passage, and we don't have time to do that this morning, you will see what Jesus says about the truth and how important that is in our Christian life. What I'd like to conclude with in the next couple of minutes is to suggest that this passage from 31 to 59 breaks itself quite well into three sections. In the first section, the concept of being children of Abraham is debated, is discussed. You see, the Jews who were there said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." They thought that they were free to do as they pleased. But do you know that Galatians reminds us throughout its teachings that it is only when we are slaves to Christ that we are really free, because then we are the people God made us to become. It is only when we enslave ourselves voluntarily to Christ that we are free to become the people God wants us to be. These people assumed great freedom, and that is probably why they were regarded then and probably now in many circles as being arrogant, because they had this sense of ownership of being God's people. And yet that was only an institutional sense in the national perspective. And God makes it clear through his word and the teachings of Christ himself that we need to belong personally and individually to his family for us to be right with God. And there's only one way for that to happen, and that is by faith. The second part of the passage, which I read at the start, is being children of the devil or of the family of the devil. And those are they who have rejected God, who have ignored God, who follow Satan's way. And the particular context here is that these people were those who were out to get God's son, not just to persecute him, but to murder him. Sometimes we tend to dilly-dally around the edges of straight talk, and we talk about Christ being crucified on the cross, and it's sort of a neutral thing. But Jesus was blunt. And he said, when you murder me, for that is your intent, when you murder me, when you take my life, you are actually rejecting God. You are rejecting God's revelation to you. And that's how powerfully he spoke. The third part of this passage talks about the claims of Christ himself. And I'd like to finish up with the last section, or the last few words that Jesus spoke, as recorded in this passage. Jesus made an outlandish claim in verse 56 when he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Earlier he had said that he knew God. The Jews in verse 57 said, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham." And then Jesus made this wonderful, wonderful claim. He said this, "I tell you the truth." And that's the last time that word is expressed in this passage. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And I think that is just marvellous. It is a wonderful climax to this debate in this context, because Jesus threw it all at them. He said, "I am." And of course, what did that mean to the Jewish people? Well, in Exodus, we have, in Exodus chapter 3, we have this little story. God said, I will be with you, to Moses, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God speaking to Moses from heaven said, I am who I am. Here in this passage, Jesus takes upon himself deity and he says, before Abraham was born, I am. A wonderful reminder to us of who Jesus is. He claimed to be God himself. And it reminds us of John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were created by him and for him, and without him nothing has been made that has been made. And then down to verse 14, the Word became flesh. And we lived, and he lived here, and we saw the glory of God through him. And then in conclusion, how do we see who this person is, who this Christ is, who this Son of God is? Whom do we say that he is? The Apostle Peter in Matthew 16 said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do we believe that Jesus is? There are lots of passages to which we could refer. But I believe that each of us can say these words, can think these thoughts after what the Apostle Paul said. At the name of Jesus, our knee shall bow, and our tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us not be like the Jewish people. Let us speak out the truth of God. Let us know it and practice it so that God will be honored and glorified and that we will be seen to be his people, his true people, not illegitimate, but true people of the living God. And there is only one way for that to happen. That is through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, who died for us. May God help you and me to revel in our belongingness to the family of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter.